This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we're making vegan cashew cheese with Gia. We have music, an inspiring devotional from the Voice of Prophecy,
and health news with Dr. Nerida McKibben. Don't go anywhere. Good morning and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. You know, we're thrilled that you're joining us on this Monday morning.
Yes, we are, friends. Today is International Joke Day. Now, it's different from April Fool's Day. July 1st is all about getting a smile out of a friend and sharing a laugh on social media.
International Joke Day. So that means...
I think it's a day for you because you love telling jokes.
Well, you want a real corny one?
Okay.
Why did the scarecrow get awarded?
I have no idea. I've never even heard this joke.
Because he was outstanding in his field.
Oh!
And it was corny. You get it? Cornfield?
Yeah, got it.
All right. So on today's program, we want to share something with you that's no joke. And you know what that is?
What?
No, that Jesus mm-hmm. wants to give us hope, that Jesus wants to have a relationship with you, that Jesus wants you with him forever. And that is true.
And it's no joke, friends. So later on today's program, our friends from Voice of Prophecy will share a devotional thought and we'll consider God's incredible love for us.
Oh, we have some good things planned for today. So let's get started by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history in 1997 at midnight, Hong Kong returned to Chinese sovereignty in a ceremony attended by British Prime Minister Tony Blair, Prince Charles of Wales, Chinese President Jiang Zemin, and U.S. Secretary of State Madeleine Albright. While the turnover was mostly peaceful and celebratory, a few thousand Hong Kong residents protested the transition.
You know, and just as Hong Kong returned to Chinese rule amidst a ceremony attended by so many dignitaries, so too will we one day return to the loving embrace of our Savior amidst the glorious gathering of other followers of Jesus and angels. And friends, our reunion with Christ will be a joyous celebration filled with rejoicing and peace beyond measure. But we don't have to wait until that day to have peace in our hearts. It can become a present reality as we abide in Him today and walk in His love and grace right now. So may we eagerly anticipate the day when He will return and we'll be reunited with Him forever. And may this hope inspire us to live lives that honor and glorify Him until that glorious day arrives. And I believe it's going to be really soon.
Me too. Praise the Lord for that. Well, it's Monday and Gia and Olive are in the kitchen teaching us how to make vegan cashew cheese. Let's join in.
Hi, everybody. Today we're making cashew delicious cheese.
The most delicious
cashew cheese.
The most delicious cashew cheese. So in our home, we're not a big fan of dairy, so we've substituted with cashew cheese. And you can use different seeds for cheeses. One of them is sunflower seeds, but we're using cashews today. And this is just a base recipe. You can add to it, you can take from it. But I'll show you how to make this one. I've soaked the cashews. You could soak them for 2 hours, overnight, an hour. It's just a cup of soaked cashews. And throw them in your blender. If you have a blender that's not so strong, like not a powerful blender, that's fine. You just soak them longer or let them sit there for a while. And you blend for longer. So we put water. Where's the water? Can you show me the water? Okay. So 1/4 of a cup of water. Good work. Pee-wee, that's awesome.
Let me put cornflakes.
No, it does look like cornflakes. That's nutritional yeast, isn't it?
1/3 of a cup of yeast.
Yay! And we've got a yeast snow happening. 1/2 juice of lemon, okay? Okay. Lemon. And what else do we put in it? Some garlic. So 2 cloves of garlic. 2 cloves of garlic.
Ah!
Ah! 1 tablespoon of apple cider vinegar. And I'm going to put 1 teaspoon of salt, just Celtic salt, to give it some flavor.
Salt.
The cheeses you get at the shops are just full of fat and salt, actually. Okay, so then we start blending until it's smooth, so it becomes like a cream cheese. Let's go.
Mommy.
Go on.
This one?
Yep, go. Okay, I overblended a little bit because I only soaked my cashews for half an hour. But this is the consistency. And I'll show you with this too. Can you see that? So that's the consistency, so it's quite thick. And when you put it in the fridge, it'll thicken up even more. And we, like for the kids, this is such a good way to give the kids some nuts. Like, not many kids have cashew allergies, but a lot of kids do get nut allergies. But if they don't, this is a good way to get them. So you can have your cashew cheese on crackers, you can have it with veggies as a dip, and serve it out to your kids or whoever's come over. Enjoy the cashew cheese. See you soon.
Bye.
It's now time for health news with Dr. Nerida McKibben from Go Healthy for Good.
In the headlines today, gut biodiversity in type 2 diabetes, eating according to our circadian rhythms, and potatoes, a good breakfast food. A diverse gut microbiome may be protective against type 2 diabetes, a new study has published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. With over 2,000 participants in the study, two large population-based reports showed that having more species of bacteria in your gut or a higher gut biodiversity was linked with lower insulin resistance. Those who had type 2 diabetes were found to have less biodiversity than those who did not. Researchers have repeatedly found a smaller variety of gut bacteria in those who developed type 2 diabetes, as well as worsening symptoms. Interestingly, the bacteria that are usually found in people with type 2 diabetes are also found in those with obesity. So let's support our own microbiome by eating the foods that feed healthy bacteria to live in our guts. Things like fruit, veggies, whole grains, legumes, and you can also add some probiotic-containing foods and supplements such as yogurt. We were created with an intrinsic circadian rhythm in almost all tissues and cells, with optimum windows of time for sleep, meditation, activity, and eating. When these behaviors occur within their optimal window, they reinforce circadian rhythms and optimize organ function and good health. But when they don't, circadian rhythm disruption occurs, resulting in increased risks of many chronic metabolic diseases. Research has found that timing of meals is the dominant driver of the circadian rhythm of the liver, our largest metabolic organ, and that eating when we should be sleeping pushes metabolism towards obesity. On the other hand, limiting our access to food to an 8-hour window during the day reduces obesity, also reduces diabetes, hypertension, dyslipidemia, and age-related decline in cardiac function, along with other chronic diseases. This pattern is called time-restricted eating or intermittent fasting and has been used quite effectively by many people who want to lose weight. What we eat, as well as when we eat it, appears to alter the risk of cardiovascular disease and all causes of death for people with diabetes. Data from 4,600 adults with diabetes taking part in the NHANES survey was analyzed. Participants completed 24-hour dietary recalls of what they ate in the morning, the afternoon, and the evening. With morning meals, the risk of death from heart disease was 50% lower in those eating the most potatoes or tomatoes and 70% lower in those eating the most starchy vegetables compared with those eating the least. In the afternoon, whole grain consumption was linked to 30% fewer cardiovascular deaths. And in the evening, it was non-starchy dark green leafy vegetables and milk that gave the advantage. And processed meats increased cardiovascular deaths by 75%. It's thought that in diabetes, there's a disrupted biological rhythm of glucose metabolism, and therefore timing consumption of different food groups may help support glucose metabolism with more of those complex carbs in the morning and fewer in the evening. I'm Dr. Nerida McKibben, and that's today's health news.
If you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more or rewatch any segment.
Also, check out our YouTube channel. Simply search for Wake Up with Hope and keep up with each one of our episodes. We're going to have music when we return, and later our friends from Voice of Prophecy will share today's devotional thought. Stay with us. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. You know, I believe this program is going to be an amazing boost to your week.
The scriptures tell us that Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. This morning, the Collingsworth family joins us to sing The Lamb.
Don't go anywhere, friends. When we return, our friends from Voice of Prophecy will join us for a devotional thought. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. We pray that you're feeling the love and joy of Jesus this Monday morning. It's now time for our morning devotional.
Our friends from Voice of Prophecy are here with us today to share with us.
David and Solomon's reign epitomized the glory years of Israel during the reign of the kings. It could be argued that during some of the judges, like Joshua, Israel was also great. But during the times of the kings, especially Solomon's kingdom, Israel was unparalleled. Despite the blessings of the Lord, however, Israel rebelled and the glory years came to an end. Predicted by God through prophets, God's chosen nation would be decimated and their people taken captive to the land of Babylon. As prophesied, Nebuchadnezzar came against Jerusalem and besieged her. In this battle, the temple was destroyed, the articles stolen, and the finest men and women that Jerusalem had to offer were marched to Babylon. The prophet Jeremiah predicted that the Babylonian captivity would last 80 years, a little over a full lifetime if we use David's reckoning of 70, which equals 70 years. In essence, God was punishing a whole generation and starting fresh with the next. This is reminiscent to what he had declared when he turned Israel back into the wilderness for 40 years after their refusal to enter Canaan. His strategy there was to let the old guard pass away so that he could enter Canaan with a new generation, one that would be willing to heed his commands. To an extent, and maybe even in a much more powerful way, the captivity in Babylon was long enough to make sure that the rebellious would no longer be alive. After the 80 years were up, God, through a pagan king, gave the order to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. But Scripture records that very few decided to return to the city of their fathers. Like Israel and Egypt, the people were reluctant to leave. And maybe this is why we get the book of Esther. As great as the story of Esther is, had God's people returned to their homeland as God had intended, they would not have faced near destruction at the hand of the wicked Haman. Regardless, there are those faithful who returned, and under leaders like Ezra, and Nehemiah, accomplished the impossible task of rebuilding Jerusalem and, of course, rebuilding the temple. But the temple was not like Solomon's temple. You remember Solomon's temple, right? David had it in his heart to build the Lord a house. And when he presented the idea to Nathan the prophet, Nathan approved it. But soon after, Nathan delivered a message from the Lord to David. In that message, God had determined that David was not the one to build the temple because he was a man of war. Instead, his son Solomon would build the temple. David began planning for the future temple. He would do as much as he could in preparation, plans, supplies, fundraising, etc., so that when the time came, his son could build the house of the Lord. Well, Solomon eventually comes to the throne and the task of building begins. When it was done, there was nothing else like it. It was truly a wonder of the world, and God blessed it. This was the temple that was destroyed by Babylon. But what about the new temple? What did the people think about it? Here's what's recorded in Ezra chapter 3, verse 12. But many of the priests and Levites and heads of the fathers' houses, old men who had seen the first temple, wept with a loud voice when the foundation of this temple was laid before their eyes. Yet many shouted aloud for joy. There was definitely excitement at the sight of the new temple. But for the old men, they remembered the former glory. This new temple, as nice as it was not what the original temple was. And so they wept. But sometimes we fix our eyes on what we can see and miss what is harder to see. The fact is that this temple would surpass the glory of Solomon's temple. Not by earthly riches, although there would be generous amounts of funding lavished on this second temple as well, but by something greater than money. Let me read to you the glorious promise as recorded in Haggai 2, 1 through 9. In the seventh month, on the 21st of the month, the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, 'Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? In comparison with it, is it not your eyes as nothing? Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts.'" According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. So my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land. And I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. But what could be more glorious than an opulent, lavished upon temple? Well, we just read it in Haggai. But it was one of those phrases that is easy to miss. Let me read a portion of it again for emphasis. Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. Did you catch it? No? Okay, let me tell you. God said, for I am with you. That's it. It's that simple. The glory of the new temple would surpass the glory of the former temple because God, in the form of Jesus, would be with them, physically in that temple. When Solomon dedicated the temple to the Lord's presence showed up and filled the space. And that was amazing. However, the presence of God was less than the physical bodily presence that Jesus would take through the incarnation. During Christ's ministry, he walked the halls, taught in the courtyards, healed and worked miracles in and around the complex. Truly, God had come down to man, and as promised to the people through Haggai, God was with them. And that, to me, is one of the greatest promises we have in Scripture. Like Israel of old, many of us struggle and at times fall. When we get back up, the devil tries to deceive us to think that we are worthless. He wants us to feel that there is no hope. He feeds us the line that we have gone too far, we are too bad, and that God cannot and will not love us. But one thing I've learned from the story of the temple is that the latter is more glorious than the former. Now, that's not to say that we should aim to be bad so that we can be good later, and the good will be better than the good that we were before. In other words, it's not a license to sin. There is a great power and blessings in staying faithful. But if we fall, we need not be troubled. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The promise is restoration, and that restoration will eventually lead this mortal to put on immortality and this corrupt to put on incorruption in the last days, at the last trump. In other words, there will be a day that our latter selves will rise up and be greater than the former because God will transform us. So listen, don't beat yourself up. Strive to walk with Jesus. But if you fall, know that you have an advocate in heaven. Get up, confess your sins, and let God work restoration in your heart. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, this morning we're asking that you will restore us, that you will transform us into children of God. Help us today to walk with Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, friends, I'm thankful to start this week with you, our Hope Channel family, once again. We at the Voice of Prophecy pray that you wake up with hope each and every day. Thank you for starting your Monday morning with us.
Thank you so much for those inspiring words.
And friends, thank you for being with us here today and watching Wake Up with Hope. And if you'd like to learn more about our program or share us with a friend, visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And we invite you to join us tomorrow morning. Jesus 101 will be here to share the morning devotional thought. We'll have a dedicated prayer session and we'll talk about the Silver City. So be sure to tune in. And if you enjoyed today's program, we invite you to visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides to learn how you can live a life filled with the hope and love of Jesus.
You know, our free Bible study guides have really helped people discover a fresh new relationship with Christ. So again, that's hope.study. And before we go, we want to share with you a Bible promise. And today's promise is found in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6.
It says, in all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight.
Yes, it's true. And as we submit to God, he promises to make smooth paths before us.
Well, friends, we pray that you were blessed by today's program and that your day will be filled with the reminders of the love, joy, and peace found in Jesus.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we continue on with this day, some of us are at the very start, others are at the very end, and regardless of where we are right now, we know, Lord, that you have a plan, a direction to guide us in, and we want to surrender to you. We want to trust in you. So, Lord, make our path smooth. As we go through this day, may we remember that we have a God in heaven who gives us strength, who gives us hope. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.